Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. Welcome to Web Culture here on WMR.fm. It is the 6th of March, 2025. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody.
It's been a shocking week, as weeks seem to be these weeks. Before getting into all the shocking and horrible stuff, we actually have a good thing to start with. And actually, we're going to have it. It's going to come up later in the show. But Alyssa Koropkup. I got this. Oh, man, I nailed her name earlier, too.
You did.
Alyssa Koropkup will join us to talk about the SEO charity event taking place on March 27th. This is SEO for Pause. The incredible. This is like the third conference, online SEO conference. Stage to raise funds to help displaced animals in the war in Ukraine. It's an incredible lineup of speakers getting together for an incredible, heartwarming cause, saving animals who otherwise can't save themselves. Alicia's coming up to talk about the SEO charity event. Again, it's on March 27th. She's going to be on the show in a few minutes. But before we get forward, State of the Union happened Tuesday night, and it would be shocking if it wasn't so numbing. There's way too much to unpack from in the technology world. But the thing that I think is actually important, there was so much bravado, bragging, outright lying by by President Trump while making that speech about the AI world investments in the tech world in North America. But the thing that I think really is that's a lot of that was bravado and bogus and just part of the weave of whatever plot is going on in his poisoned dark mind. But the thing that I think was really, really important was an aside that almost got passed. I mean, it happened in maybe 4 or 5 seconds of a 2 hour long speech. And this is when he addressed the CHIPS Act. Christine, the importance of developing chips on American soil is, as we saw during COVID, and you know, as we need to worry about with China and Taiwan, is obviously there's a national security issue, right?
Yeah, we found out during the pandemic that we didn't make the chips necessary to run a lot of things like phones and televisions and even cars. So part of what President Biden did was develop the CHIPS Act, the CHIPS and Science Act. And what it did is it helped us start manufacturing chips here. We can't replace what Taiwan does. They are very unique. They're the only ones that can make a certain kind of chip. But we are now making those chips too, just in smaller quantities. So we don't compete with them, except in the United States. But apparently, although House Speaker Johnson had said that he was going to, repeal it. He was actually told by his constituents and by other people in the Republican Party that was a no-go. So the man in charge said that your CHIPS Act is a horrible, horrible thing. Weaving it, Democrats
Oh,
started to speak.
let's be clear. The man in charge was Trump, and this is
Yes.
something that happened on Tuesday
Yes.
at the
So
State of the Union speech. He turns to Johnson and says,
that your CHIPS Act is a horrible, horrible thing, and we give hundreds of billions of dollars, and it doesn't mean a thing. All that was important to them was they didn't want to pay the tariffs. So no, the CHIPS Act
So
is
no, then he
very.
says to Johnson, "You should get rid of the CHIPS Act, whatever's
Yes.
left over, Mr. Speaker. Use it to reduce the debt and any other reason you want to." Now, I think
So,
it's really important because we're talking about billions of dollars of investment in the American tech field,
yes.
desperately needed investment.
And also, it brought back a lot of manufacturing to the United States. So
Jobs,
we, yeah,
incredibly
lots of
important,
jobs.
high-level jobs in
And
an
high
area
paying.
that I swear to goodness is going to be like auto manufacturing, but cleaner.
Yeah, it allocated $280 billion in new funding to boost the domestic production of semiconductors and chips and to bolster research and development. Funding had been awarded to projects in roughly two dozen states, according to the Commerce Department's National Institute of Standards and Technology, NSIT. NIST, for those who know the abbreviation. So anyway,
You
Rudy,
got to
this
remember, this is replaced by Operation Stargate, which was his SoftBank investment of several hundred billion dollars in OpenAI, Perplexity, and
I don't think that money's been given, though. I think he just
well,
said he would do it.
no, not only has the money not been given, Christine, like ever since the advent of DeepSeek, investors are wondering, did you give that money at all? Because, like, you
That's
know,
true.
what do you need 300 gajillion billion? Gajillion bajillion
Exactly.
dollars for. They
We
can
can
do
do
it
it
for
for bubble
10.
gum. Yeah.
You know?
Sorry, bubble. I think it was as low as a million on some of what they did. But anyway.
Well, indeed, but you know, like why should they give these guys 2 billion when those guys can do it for five?
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
for $5. It's
Yeah.
absurd. And so the deal that Trump is going to replace the CHIPS Act with is probably going to fall through anyway. But just because it was done by a previous administration, not because it's good policy, not because it's an immediate matter of national security. And incidentally, I'm saying this from a country that's probably being invaded by America sometime in the near future, but it's still a matter of national security to like have chips made in the United States. For American national security, not necessarily mine.
Yeah,
Here's hoping things change on that one.
the thing that's unfortunate is this is a bipartisan approved deal in Congress to make sure that we had our national security covered. So we had chips. We were at a situation again where the supply chain fell apart like the pandemic. So anyway, yeah. So he's been told by Congress and by Speaker Johnson that right now it is a no-go. They will not repeal it.
Given
Because they got
how
pushed back from their constituents mostly.
the administration or regime has treated its closest allies, how it's treated Ukraine and Ukrainian refugees just today, I honestly don't think national security is an overreaching concern to these people. I think national insecurity is a much bigger concern. Okay, so we noted at the beginning of the show that the SEO charity is coming up, charity event's coming up on March the 27th. Alicia Cordova came by to talk to us about it. We recorded an interview a few hours before actually recording the podcast. So here's Alicia to tell us a little bit more about the SEO charity event. Okay, so now in studio, or actually joining us from London, we have Alicia Korobka. We're going to be talking about the upcoming conference. SEO for Pause conference. It's happening on March 27th. It's got some incredible names in it. And I'm delighted to have Alessia back on the show again. Alessia, welcome back to Webcology. How you doing?
Hello, Jim. Your pronunciation is perfect. I should mention it. I'm good. Thank you so much. Much better than before, last time that we talked. Thanks to you and your support. And I hope that this conference, with your new support, where Christine is talking, will also be awesome. So,
Well, this
anything?
conference is already looking awesome. I mean, it's got you, it's got Anton Schulke, it's got Martin Spitt from
Yes.
Google talking about debugging JavaScript websites. Okay, well, first off, what is SEOs for Paws? Like, what is this charity about?
It's Anton's project. So he started when the war began. There were people who were leaving animals behind them when they were fleeing the war. And of course, some animals were just left on the streets, or some of them were left at their homes. So people took away their belongings or were just killed by missiles or whatever else. And their poor pets were left closed in the apartments or in the houses without any supervision, without any help. So there were some volunteers that started saving the animals. They went to the houses and started rescuing them from feeding them and taking them from the streets to their houses. And there are very, very small shelters because there are lots of such animals who are had that bad impact from war. So they were taking them to their homes, and they are very, very small shelters. Small shelters means they're like from 50 to 100 to 200 cats in one apartment. So they were saving them and taking them to their homes to feed them, to cure them, because some of them were injured badly, some of them were sick, some of them, like, everything happens, it's life. And he started helping them. But because there are so many animals that need our help, it was impossible for him to do it on himself. So he started this project as a charity project, where he started collecting money from people who wanted to donate to help to feed these animals and to proceed with saving them. And because it is quite hard to ask constantly for people's money, he started doing this SEO for Paws event. Conference where we could engage some speakers and sponsors in order to collect more money so that we can pay the bills for these animals because they need this food constantly. So it's just I want like some means to get more funds, you know, to that. We've got very big shelters, of course, but big shelters cannot save everyone. So some smaller cases, they get like this, they get bypassed. And some people just cannot work. When they see an animal in danger, when they see a poor cat or some kittens, they just pick them up and they don't think about where they're gonna get money to feed them. So they just cannot pass by, you know. So there are
Yeah,
such
they
people.
just gotta help.
Yes. So what these people do, they somehow manage to get all these cats and dogs all the time and save them, rescue them, but they need to pay the bills as well. And the money that we collect from this charity, so to say, we they are fully transferred to these shelters for these cats and dogs needs. So we don't all the bills that we have for this charity event or whatever else, we pay from our own money. So no money that get donated from sponsors or from anyone else get to us. They go straight to the shelters
100% of the proceeds going straight to the charities.
yes,
So
to these animals.
let me ask you a couple questions. The war in Ukraine started 3 years ago, 3 years ago last month, with the illegal invasion from Russia. Anton started the charity, what, 6, 7 months later. In that time, do you have an idea how many pets, how many actual animals have been assisted, saved, or is there any way to have an estimate of that?
I really don't know. I'm only focused on doing my part with
Yeah.
that. So real numbers about he's got this report in a Google spreadsheet where he writes everything. So what went where and so on and so forth. And he also published several cases of several kittens or cats in a search engine journal. It can be viewed, but I don't remember the exact number.
I'll just throw in there, Jim. He periodically re sends out a report to everybody who donates, because I have a monthly donation of where they've spent the money, how much they've raised, how much has gone to who, you know, generally speaking. And then also every dime that they raise goes to the people that need help. He doesn't take any for overhead or anything like that. He puts in his own money for those items. So you do
Yeah,
get a
yeah.
pretty clear and transparent reporting from him periodically on what they spent, how they spent, and how much they raised.
Oh yeah, I get that as well. I'm signed up through Buy Me a Coffee. I think it's $15 a month, $10, $15 a month that I'm giving. Which incidentally, if you aren't able to donate through the SEO charity, SEO for Pause Events, track down Anton. You can find, easily find him on Google. You can use the head spokesperson or head marketer for Duda. I'm sorry, head influencer mark head of influencer marketing at Duda. He's easily found, and he has a Buy Me a Coffee account. $5, $10, $15 a month will go way, way further than you think it will in trying to help save these animals. It's so sad because humans can at least make a decision to move somewhere, but an animal that's trapped in an apartment, in a flat, or in a shelled out ruin of a home can't make a decision to go somewhere. Christine, I know you want to jump in with a question. I just got one more quick question for Alessia. Alessia, so there's no way to give an estimate of exactly how many pets have been helped, but this is going to be the third SEO for Paws charity. Do you know or have an idea of how many people from the SEO community you've brought together to get interested in this kind of project?
I think there are more than 100, that for sure. And also during the event, people keep donating a lot. Some of them are sometimes not really from SEO community, but they are some bloggers or business people or consultants and etc. But like really more than 100. I think it is all in his spreadsheet. I don't really look at the stories and all that because I'm highly empathetical and I will feel so bad, you know, if I dive into it. So I'm just and I cannot help them in any other way. So I'm always like with the news and the war and everything, I don't really read them. I don't know how many people were impacted or animals or whatever. I just focus on what me myself can do to change the situation and where I can have some positive impact. And because I will be like crying the whole night if I start reading everything and the stories and everything, I just don't do that because I need my sane mind. I need my resources to focus on what I'm really doing. So from my side, I just know that I need to do this, that, and that to accumulate the funds or to make this happen on to have such a brilliant speaker as Christine on the conference and how to build everything up and what to talk about and what questions to ask so that this project has success and can make a really positive impact for everyone. So we are not doing it only to accumulate funds, though this is our main goal, but it should be very helpful for SEOs, for the community, for everything. So we people who speak at the conference online, they deliver real knowledge. They help other people who listen to this solve their SEO problems or to have some insight or to get some inspiration or whatever else. So it is something highly positively impactful on all sides. And that's what I'm focusing on. Like, and that's about it. Maybe. So Anton told me that he cannot say exactly how many animals were saved. At the moment, they have more than 300 cats and dogs in five shelters that they are funding. But the exact number is very hard to count.
I imagine it's very transitory, and very precarious, when in that kind of situation. But thank you. I mean, that's wonderful that you reached out to Anton during the interview to try to get those numbers for us. Thank you so much. Did
I
you
know that
organize the
numbers
speakers?
are important. I know that the numbers are important, sorry, but I just don't really focus on them.
One cat saved is not enough saved, but it's a great start. Did you organize the speakers for this show?
We are doing that with Anton. So sometimes me, sometimes more Anton has impact. Sometimes I just want to build something that is really helpful for people and also to attract speakers that want to share something. I don't want to make people participate. You know, sometimes when you approach a speaker and they think that it is a charity conference and not so many people watch it, so they are not very interested in that. So I'm also looking for people who really want to make an impact from their side, and that regarded as something important as well. And that because we deliver really high knowledge there, so high quality knowledge, and it's not something just where you come and go. Lots of people listen to us, and we have quite big of an audience. We have some of email list even, and all kinds of that. So yeah, I'm looking for
your speakers list is incredible. I mean, it's a great little list. You got Martin Split, again talking about debugging JavaScript websites. Sarah Fernandez Corona, dark patterns in SEO and user experience. Roxana Sigu, the role of embeddings in modern SEO. Noah Lerner, talking about advancing your career and developing different skills you might need to be a better business person while doing the business of SEO. Mark William Cross, really cool. Yes. Talking about some of the things he's discovered while working with sites and a specific front-end Google exploit. I'm interested in hearing what that is exactly. The legendary Alan Blywife, yes. Technical SEO for AEO. Really interested to hear Alan's observations, because not a lot gets past Alan.
Alan is a legend, yeah.
Alan is legend, yes. And of course, our own Christine Schackinger talking about which update was it? Sounds like a game. Yeah. That would actually be a fun game. We should do that on Webcology, make a game show out of what update was it.
A lot of people confuse the updates, I find, so, which is really important because the HCU can't be recovered from, as far as we know, so. It's really good if you know whether it's an HCU or not. So,
it's an interesting time to do a lecture like that, given Helpful was like, what, a year and a bit ago? And just people still haven't recovered from that. But everybody went back to the Helpful content update, even though there was like X number of updates between last year and the present day.
So many updates.
Don't know your past, you don't know your future, right?
Exactly. I did want to add just real quickly, backtracking a little bit. For those who want to donate, if you can do a monthly subscription, it's super helpful for Anton and to help the people, because he knows how much every month he has, and then he can help each month plan better for the people that they're supporting. So if you can do like $10 a month or more, there's an option on the Buy Me a Coffee. And if you do Buy Me a Coffee in Google and just add Anton, it's the first one that comes up, and you can be sure it's him, because when you click on it, there's a Ukrainian flag in the background, and it talks about paws and the animals that they're rescuing. But it's, and Shulk is Shulke. But if you don't remember that, it comes up with Anton, Buy Me a Coffee.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Gonna mention some names here, some company names. These are the sponsors of SEO Charity and the SEO Paws Conference. Search Engine Journal, Olive Street Design, SE Ranking, Mosquito Digital, Search Atlas, Linkhouse, and Majestic. All of those companies are doing a really good thing, and you should let them know they're doing a good thing with your emails, and more importantly, with your time, energy, and in some cases with your subscriptions. And thank you to each of these companies. Like, they're stepping up, and it's wonderful seeing them doing the right thing. Alessia, we're almost out of time for the interview, but is there anything else you want people to know about SEO for Paws, SEO Charity, or about the situation in Ukraine?
I'd really love to see everyone at this conference. It's very important that you join it live, because as like more views help to reach bigger audience as well. Even if you cannot donate or don't feel like donating, it's important that you share the information about it, because when you do, more people get involved and more people find out about it. So any kind of participation, any kind of involvement is very important. Sharing, talking in the chat because we've got some of our speakers engaging with the audience in the chat. And also come to support Christine when she's speaking, ask her difficult questions about the update, because you will rarely have such an opportunity when she can answer that. So grab it and come and join us. And I'd be really happy to see anyone, everyone, absolutely.
Yeah, well, Alessia Korobaka, thank you so much for spending time with us on Webcology. SEO Charity and the SEO for Pause event is March 27th. SEOcharity.com. Sign up, register for it, check out the live streams. And when you do, folks, you are in for an extraordinary online mini conference. And you're going to be helping a really, really important cause as one of the most important events in likely modern human history unfolds. So again, Alessia, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Stay well.
Thank you.
Moving right along. Speaking of insecure, why is Elon Musk afraid of ghosts?
Yeah. So what he's doing it with Doge, and right now today, they're supposed to fire 80,000 people that work at the Veterans Administration, on top of 1,000 they already fired who worked critical roles like
suicide prevention. Did you say 80,000?
80,000. They've already, Jesus, in total fired 270,000 from the federal government. However, those are working their ways through the court. Several groups were reinstated today, part of the EPA and another group, because it was an illegal firing.
But this 80,000 people, 80,000 veterans, people working at the VA.
Well, people at the VA, they're not all veterans, but about 30 to 40% of those who work there are veterans. So yes, a high number of veterans would be fired.
Yeah.
And these are people who do essential services like, you know, healthcare and psychiatric care and wound care, all those things.
So there's lots of reasons why Musk should fear those ghosts. Why is he afraid of his ghosts?
Well, he basically has some sort of idea. I did this at Twitter too, that people collect money that don't work or don't work there. Like they're invisible people, dead people getting money. So in this case, he's like, dead people are getting Social Security. Dead people are getting all these paychecks. There is literally no evidence of that. Plus, if someone dies, Social Security immediately cuts you off. And then
I don't mean to interrupt so much, but isn't that an effect of misunderstanding like a programming language from the 1950s?
That's the other thing. So the Social Security is just basically just nothing. That doesn't exist. There is no issue there, because when people die, they get cut immediately. But yes, there's a programming language you and I probably know about. Many younger people do not. It's called COBOL. And COBOL didn't have a good way to handle a null date, like where you have nothing to enter into the cell when you do a database. So they just made up a date. I think it's 1857 or 1890.
And that's the default for we don't know?
Yeah, it's the default for there's no data for this.
Okay.
I mean, we don't know. It's just there is no data for this item. And so in the State of the Union, and Musk has been saying that all these people are 150 and they're getting paid, and we know that are not 150-year-olds. Well, first of all, they also did this with Social Security. Social Security stops at 110. So it couldn't be 150, even if that was possible. But it's just this null database item they put in. Back in the day, you know, not that long ago either, we're talking 80s and 90s, but these systems were often developed in like the 70s, where the coding systems were so strict and rigid that there were no easy ways to handle data that they didn't have like a space for, like why we had the almost crash of, you know, going from 1999 to 2000, right? Because you had to put four digits in and the databases didn't have four digits.
That was for real.
That was for real. They paid COBOL, I think it was COBOL people. Maybe could be wrong on that, but they just paid them lots of money to go in and redo all the databases. So anyway, so there are not 150-year-olds getting Social Security. There's no mass grift going on. They are literally just numbers in a database that were used to handle an empty cell, otherwise known as a null. And when they use that number, they knew 150 meant that obviously this is not a real person, and to move on.
Yeah.
But apparently,
what really pisses me off about this?
Yes.
Besides all the obvious stuff, It's no possible way he doesn't know this. You know
right.
how I know that? You know how I know that
100%.
for a fact?
How?
You get four or five geeks in a room and you put like a joint, a bunch of ketamine, or a bottle of booze between them. And you get them talking. And you get them jawing out a problem. Well, because a bunch of 150-year-olds like taking benefits. One of them is going to out-geek the other and say, here's why it's happening, and I'll tell you exactly. Because that's how we are.
It's true, but also he has advisors that are there that, you know.
Screw those. Well, they've all been locked out. They're pounding on the window saying, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't do that. It's him and a small collection of, you know, like 20-somethings who apparently are getting paid six figures to do this stuff, who are all sitting around the couch burning documents in the middle of a glass table while snorting ketamine off of it and talking about their problems. That's what's going down.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. I'm not actually privy to their ketamine parties. I never get invited to parties like that. Thank God.
Alligator parties, so SEO. Anyway.
Indeed, only alligator parties.
So, basically, all these supposed cuts. One, most of them are projects that are already dead and don't save anything. Like I think literally when they
well,
work
given
it
there's
out,
150-year-old people working on them, of course the projects are dead.
But also a funny one you may not know about, and it's not in our list here, but I'm going to throw it out there, is they put 454 federal buildings up for sale the other night.
Yeah.
including the National Institutes of Health, the FBI, and the CIA.
Oh, and also the place that stores all the nuclear waste the Army produces.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So he just uses this large language model to like find patterns for words, and you know, and also transgenic mice have nothing to do with transgender. They are not making transgender mice. Transgenic mice are ones who are made biometrically. I'm not sure that's the right word.
Biometrically, so that they can test asthma medication.
As humans, they make them more human-like. So that they can test medications on them.
Yeah, and by the way, this is being done on mice, not on rats. The transgenic mutations that were done on rats ended up on the podium at the State of the Union the other night, and it was awful to watch.
But anyway,
that was a segue, wasn't it?
So people think that he just uses words like trans, and then like he got rid of trans, like all these trans things that had nothing to do with gender or anything related to
humans. That's just
humans.
Straight out. He uses trans as scapegoats because he needs a group of people, like undocumented aliens, to pin all the evils, most of which are ill-conceived by himself, on, so that the American public won't see what he's doing to them. But, I mean, I'm sorry, you know that. I just want to get this on the record.
Yeah,
for
one thing on the record about that, just really quick, just because it just came up personally. It's not necessarily about tech, but... you know how many people play collegiate sports that are trans?
Very few.
10.
But that's in California, is it not?
10 or 12. Yeah, it's like 12 in the whole country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're getting upset about that, it's kind of a waste of energy. But anyway, so they're doing all these massive cuts using his large language model. Plus, they put up all this information on the DOGE website. Most of it's been removed because it was all wrong, because they used a large language model, which is just predictive text, not analyses. So there's a lot of, for someone who's supposedly such a genius about tech, lots of really bad stuff happening because they don't understand their own tech and how to use it, I guess, or they don't care. But 80,000 in the Veterans Administration will be fired today. That might go through the courts and be reversed like some of the others, but the courts are a bit behind how fast they're moving, so might be a few weeks too.
If only there was, I don't know, something like an advanced general intelligence that could sort of oversee everything.
No,
and
that,
I'm pretty sure that's actually one of the goals here. And it's sort of got confirmed when Google's former CEO and co-founder, Sergey Brin, came out of the woodwork to suggest that Google employees should work 60 hours per week in order for Google to win the AIG race. 60 hours being Brin's idea of what the sweet spot in creativity and productivity is. And he may well be right about 60 hours, by the way. I mean, most people I know tend to work weeks like that, just because it's the way our world works.
Can I just say, wasn't the AI is supposed to make them more productive, so they didn't have to work as much.
Well, this isn't AI. This is advanced
Yeah, but
intelligence.
it's AGI.
It's super AI.
I just was, making a joke that the AI, because Microsoft came out last week or 2 weeks ago and said the AI is not making their coders more efficient or productive.
Well, these versions aren't. New versions might. We'll see how that works as things work up, or down, depending on how LLMs galoop themselves. But I would feel weird if my boss was telling me to work 60 hours a week to create something that was designed to make me unemployed.
Yeah, exactly. And also in the office. This isn't even remote. You have to be in the office every day. But you're right. Yeah. Why? I never understood why coders want to help develop something that makes them obsolete if it works.
Because, honest to goodness, the reason is these people figure the layoffs aren't going to happen to them. They were so integral personally to whatever it is they were creating. They figured that the person they were making it for is going to care that they were integral to the creation of it.
We've worked in tech long
99
enough to
times
know
out of
that's not
100,
true.
yeah, they won't care. They're
No.
glad to have the toy.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No. So that, yeah, exactly. By the
Moving
way,
right along.
we have a very heavy AI show this week because Google decided to release all sorts of AI things in the search. So just letting you know ahead of time.
For
Well, one
instance,
one instance. Go ahead.
at 1 p.m. Eastern, Google posted, "We're investigating reports of issues with Google Ads." This is a good thing. Google's
this is
fixed.
March 1st.
Yeah, on March 1st, Google fixed something on March. Noticed a problem, fixed it on March 2nd. You had a problem with your Google Ads, seeing weird behavior. They fixed it.
Well, and also the ads weren't running.
But ads went
Like
down. Ads just totally stopped.
Yeah, ads weren't running for a whole bunch of people. So there were literally no ads running at that time.
So this is
For
for
some
like
people,
three and
not
a
all
half
people.
hours or so?
No, it was for about a half a day, about 18
Ooh.
hours, I think. So yeah, so there's a bunch of theories. If you want to check out the theories, it's Search Engine Roundtable, many Google Ads accounts not serving or delivering ads since March 1st, but it was fixed on March 2nd. But if you didn't get any revenue in that time period from your ads, that'd be why, because they weren't showing at all.
Okay, this one's fun.
This is funny.
So, OpenAI has, well, first off, OpenAI 4.5 is. I haven't seen a difference between 4.0 and 4.5, but I'm not using it to do crazy, incredible, massive, big things.
The leaders in the field are very underwhelmed by 4.5, like Gary Marcus and those.
I've heard that 4.5 is performing at a far higher level than 4.0 is for people who are using it to create massive amounts of content. Whichever is true, I don't know. What I do know is OpenAI is confident enough in it to tell people it's PhD level. It's creating PhD level agents. And to get a PhD, this is the part that kills me. To get a
I know.
PhD level agent working on your side, OpenAI is paying to charge you 20 grand American a month.
Yes, if you just want a high income knowledge worker, that's 2,000. And
Well,
the
I'm going to
software
say, like,
developer is 10,000, but a PhD level research, 20,000. Oh my gosh.
have you met PhD level researchers? These people are starving. They'll work for 4,000 a month. I know, like real live people, and they'll make you coffee. Good
And they
coffee,
know
because
what
they know
you're
what they're
looking
doing.
at. And you can discuss it with them, and they won't be wrong half the time. And they know the topic because they're there. I was an assistant as a
It's
PhD, as
and
a
what kills
researcher.
and what kills me is this dude is surrounded by PhD level people. But the problem is they're all making far more than 20,000 a month,
But you know
given
what?
that they're working in a place that is burning through billions and hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
But what they paid me was $800 a month on a grad assistantship.
And you were happy for that. It got
No,
you
I was not
peanut
happy
butter
for
sandwiches, right?
$800 a month. But if they said, here's a $60,000 a year job while you're going to grad school, because we don't want to spend $240,000 a year, or is it 240? 2.4 million.
But again, I mean, so many grad students just don't have work, so just to have work alone is wonderful. PhD, many people getting out of school don't find incredible gigs. 20 grand a month for a specialized AI agent.
Which, by the
You better be
way,
working this thing 24/7 and have like two PhDs who are only getting like, maybe 1200 a month or so, editing everything.
yes, because you have to review it because it's wrong so often. And it doesn't have a lot. And remember, it didn't train on like
No.
the scholarly documents like that much compared to everything else. So it won't have a lot of
No,
predictive
you know what?
text on that.
This is how you do it, though. You get like you pay 20 grand a month for your PhD level agent. Have it do 10 th have it do what 10 PhD students would
You
accomplish
still
in
have
a
to
month.
hire.
Hire five of them to oversee it and tell them if they screw up, they're going to get fired. That's how you run
Yeah.
this thing at a profit.
No, or you just don't pay 20,000 a month for something so silly. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. Your student, your PhD researcher, I was one, knows where the library is, knows how to look everything up,
Hey,
won't get it wrong.
I'm just telling you how to make more jobs for
Oh
university
my
students.
gosh. 20,000 a month. That's insane. I'm
Well, no, that's
sorry.
20,000 that you're paying to the mule that you're going to whip and work and beat the crap out of because it's only a computer, it's only AI.
Have you been
It's
a
the five students that
PhD
you're
researcher?
paying 1,200 a month to, far less, to oversee it.
Yeah,
Those are the
no.
ones you got to threaten with, like, immediate firing and stuff so that they're always on their toes.
Or just pay them very well and drop the
Oh,
whole
for
AI
goodness sake,
training.
what country do you live in? They're
I
never gonna
know.
pay. They're
And
never gonna pay
by the
knowledge workers
way,
well again, ever.
certain professors, I had many good ones, but certain professors are not afraid to whip and crack the whip on the human researcher either. So
And
anyway,
again,
it's just
there.
it was very
I don't
well
think we live in a world where knowledge workers are going to get paid a hell of a lot of money unless they're working to put other knowledge workers out of work.
all I know is $20,000, even $2,000 a month is a bit ridiculous. So
Unless you're paying for a live knowledge worker who probably has kids to feed. Like,
that's
want to keep that
different.
in mind.
Human, yeah, pay them $10,000 a month,
Yeah. Thing is, that's not going to happen. This is 2025 in this time frame, in this version of the universe.
Well, no,
Maybe we could
I
get
agree.
together with Microsoft's new quantum chip and
I
qubit ourselves to another part of the quantum universe and have a way better time, but I'm stuck here.
disagree a little bit though at the price tag that they're offering. People are not going to go,
Oh
oh, spending
no, that's
$5,000
delusion.
for
Oh,
this
that's
research.
total
Let me
delusion. Oh, for
spend
sure.
$200,000 now. He has to raise a lot of money because they're burning too much cash and they're not making enough to replace it. That's why he's
Well,
charging
and this is about as
$20,000.
well
I
thought
can't
out
think of
as
a
a
reason.
$5 million citizenship card to
Yes,
kill the national debt.
very much true.
Okay, so Alphabet is lobbying against the breakup of the company.
Yes.
It's talking to the Trump regime's. It's talking to officials at the Trump regime, urging them to get the DOJ to back down. I'm not sure if there's really any difference between the Trump regime and the DOJ at this point, but there might be.
They're citing national security. That is their argument.
Well, that's not a
They
very
don't.
strong argument with these people these days, is it?
No.
Well, okay, so Google wants to stop the imposition of the proposed final judgment that suggests Google should divest the Chrome browser and maybe stay away from that market for the next half decade or so.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know what? I have no idea what's even going to happen here, except that Google's doing
Well,
it.
we know the judge in this one. We've seen his comments, so I don't think he's going to be amenable, but we'll see. He thinks they deserve what is happening, and they need to be broken up. So we'll see.
What if we get AI by E by E, AI by EO?
I
Okay,
don't even know
forget
what
it.
that means,
I'm
but
gonna
now I'm
write a
just
headline about
scared.
AI by EO in the future. Someone caught Microsoft Bing hijacking searches
Again,
for competing AI. Really?
this is the third time we reported on a similar story where they're trying to hijack searches from Google. This time they're trying to hijack it from AI companies, and they're putting their services over the rival services in search results, and their default products often direct users to Bing, increasing traffic to the search engine, and they have a history of promoting products. Have they not seen what's happening with Google? And by the way, they put AI in Copilot in my Word, and I am not happy. I cannot find a way to get rid of it. I do not want it.
I don't mean to totally correct you here, Christine, but this is the fourth time we've covered the story.
Oh, is this the fourth time?
No, if you count the story we did last week where we noted that OpenAI and DeepSeek will actually cheat at games to gain an advantage.
Okay.
This is Microsoft cheating at a game to gain an advantage.
Yeah. So anyway, they need to get a new trick.
This is literally, you are right. This is literally the third time we've covered the same story. They're doing
same,
the like,
same
yeah.
tactic. They're on different things, but different things they're highlighting. But yeah, same tactic. So where's the
Meta is,
next?
How about the hundreds of millions of businesses that are going to be targeted by agentic AI deployment from it during in Meta?
Yeah, so
What?
they have 200 million small businesses around the world that are using Meta services and platforms. And that includes WhatsApp and Instagram. So they're going to have AI that can represent them and help automate redundant tasks, help speak in their voice, help them find more customers, and provide almost like a concierge service to every single one of their customers. This is on CNBC. The more AI does, less people have to do, at least in the traditional definitions of roles, she says. She is the person running this project. I don't know what his official title is. There's a single job that hasn't been completely transformed by the internet and by mobile and by social media. I think we're at the same juncture now with AI, where it's clear there's a certain professions where AI will significantly change the job. But my prediction is over time, AI will change every job function across every industry. I'm sorry, it was a her, not a him. I don't want these things on my computer. I don't want them doing things in my name because we know that large language models are often wrong. I don't want them having access to any of my accounts.
Oh, if I can control these things, I want them in my name. But you know what I really don't want? I don't want them in other SEOs' names because I'm going to get the crap spammed out of me is what I'm hearing. I'm going to get so much SEO spam in the next few months. It's going to drive me loopy.
You don't even know. So,
no, if I make the spam, that's different.
Yeah. So this is not in our story list, so I'm just going to put it out there real quick. There is a AI called Yema that is able to recreate entire sites in a matter of seconds. There is no other purpose for that but spam and scam. I think we should coin those words. Spam, if you can say it two times.
Actually,
scam.
It can make entire websites like how close? How really?
Yeah, you put the URL in and it recreates the entire. I don't know if it recreates all the code. I didn't get that deep into it yet, but it does recreate how the visual.
Okay, that's too, because there's some stuff I'm actually really curious about in somebody else's website, you know?
I like how that looks. I'm going to recreate it for myself. I'll put the URL in here. I got it in 2 seconds. So spam and scam is really what that's for. So anyways, the agents, I do have an interesting article waiting for me that I have not read yet, but it's How to Hack AI Agents. It was on LinkedIn this week. So yeah. So like I said, everybody, if you want to put it on your computer, you should. They will not be going on mine. So until we know they're safe. And right now there is no indication that they are safe. So so here's an interesting one that was a surprise to everybody. Did you hear about the Google Ads mystery shopping rating?
No, I'm just hearing about this now, actually.
Yeah, so this is reported by Barry Schwartz in Search Engine Roundtable. And it says, have any of you read or have any of you heard of the Google Ads mystery shopping rating? Well, it may be used by Google for the overall store rating, which is calculated from customer reviews and a, quote, mystery shopping rating, quote, according to a Google Ads rep. So this is literally stated by a Google Ads rep that there's a mystery shopping rate. Now, we all know about mystery shoppers. You know, all of our friends have, probably one friend who's done it, you know, where you go and you rate places. But I don't know where Google does this.
Do they have mystery shoppers or just a mystery shopping rating? And if so, what cues a mystery shopping rating?
They don't know. And Barry could not get an answer. Barry could not get an answer from Google. So if you have an overall rating of 3.6, even if your reviews are 4 and 5 stars, it will affect you negatively. 3.6 or below.
So their mystery score ranking is 3.5. You
Yes.
could have a 4 and 5, a bunch of 4 and 5 star reviews, but still be at 3.6, which would suggest a serious crap ton of 3.5 reviews.
Right, but these aren't reviews. These are from the mystery shopping rating scores.
Oh, of ratings. So sorry, if rating score is around 3.5, you would have
Yeah.
a serious crap ton of them to lower the value of several 4 and 5 star ratings.
Well, we don't know that because we don't know how they weight the mystery shopping rating, right? It could be 100 people. We don't know. It could be 10 people. But either way, the full response from the Google rep said, "Thank you for your patience and I apologize for the delayed response. As mentioned, we have forwarded your issue to the wider team." Someone was writing Barry or Google, I forget which. And oh, in the Google Ads help one. And they found that the overall store rating is calculated from customer reviews as well as a mystery shopping rating component when available. While the mystery rating score is not explicitly shown to the user, the About This Page dialog does mention that there may be other rating components. They have confirmed that our, in parentheses, our site has a mystery shopping rating score of 3.5 in this case that they're talking about, which explains why the store currently has an overall rating of 3.6 despite customer reviews being 4 and 5 stars. That is quite a drop, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There has to be like a serious crap ton of them.
Yeah, also our team is working on the mystery shopping ratings process. However, we don't have the exact time frame for this. I hope you can understand my limitations. For more information, please go through an article that they mentioned here. And I hope the provided information is
Well,
helpful.
I mean, dear Google employee, no, I do not understand your limitations. I hope you understand that my business is being crashed because people think I stink.
Yes, and it could be, I mean, it could be they use the mystery shopper companies and take their ratings because they said that they just said they're not always available. But it's quite interesting. If you have a score that's lower than you expect, this is probably what's at play.
You know,
So.
if we were a more fully produced and just put a whole bunch more effort into producing the show, we would definitely have Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows playing in the background while you read
Right?
that
That's
story.
in my head right now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's a neat one. Think there's massive changes coming to Google, coming to the way Google's going to present search results. Google's experimenting with AI only search results. Forget AI overviews. We're looking at AI only search results in one of Google's imagined futures. And to prepare for these changes, Rajan Patel, a vice president of engineering for search at Google, also the guy who helped found Google Lens, is going to become an assistant to Danny Sullivan, Google's search liaison. So we're going to have two Google search liaisons coming forward. Rajan Patel is an expert in some of the newer stuff that's going on at Google. He's mentioned specifically around AI mode, and wants to, you know, hear people's opinions and take that back to his engineering team. Danny is still search liaison. He's still the, I guess, you know, the lead spokesperson in that role, but that they've had to put a second person in there with deep AI knowledge. I think it's a major signal.
So interesting in his verified account status in Twitter, it says that because it's an affiliate of Search Liaison on X, but then that was removed from his profile. So I guess once it was found out, it just sounds like he's looking for information and discussion now that he was replacing Danny in any way.
Oh yeah, oh indeed. Danny's not being replaced. No.
Yeah.
Danny's still search liaison. But like, this guy is here to and again to get feedback and take it back to the engineering team.
Exactly. Yeah.
But this is AI focused. Like that's what he's here to deal with. Danny will deal with your search issues. But I bet Rajan, he's about AI stuff. And that's, I think again, I just got a feeling that given what's coming, they're going to want to know as much as possible about user experience and user opinion.
Definitely. So it's interesting. But yeah, he's just there. He's a VP of search engineering, so he's just there to listen.
Okay, for a next story, you
Yes.
need a new Gmail address?
Yeah, this isn't that you actually need a new Gmail address.
Is it going to be foisted on me? Am I still going to be me
No.
at Gmail?
No, they're just now offering what people have done for a long time, and it is to spoof an email address that will resolve to your actual email address. So you don't have to give your real email address all the time, so you don't wind up on all those brokered lists that people pay for and you get all the spam. So it's a good deal that they're offering that. But my Yahoo's offered that for like 20 years.
So
So.
I could get email addresses that might be spoofed to be pretending to be me, just forwarded to me, like
You are
POTUS at
pretending.
gov.us.
No, I don't let you
Oh.
do that. But it's gonna be a Gmail address. But they're just gonna let you. It's like Apple's Hide My Email. You don't have to give your real email address every time. You can just create another one, and it'll allow you to use that. So it, I mean, it's still, if it gets spammed, it's still gonna come back to you. But you'll know that it's spam, because you only used it one place and it got sold to a broker or something. So, and they'll redirect to your normal email box, and you'll be able to turn them off if you want to. So, I think it's a good thing. I mean, yeah, like I said, Yahoo's had it forever, so I didn't know Gmail didn't. But apparently, it's a new thing called shielded emails.
I don't need to get a new email address for real, though.
You need to get a new email address for real?
I don't need to get one, do I?
Oh yeah, no. You don't have to get one, only if you want to, protect yourself. Oh.
In this crazy world, maybe that's a good idea. But I like this next story because it makes it much easier to protect me without having to do a damn thing. Except update my mobile operating system. Google's new Android scam feature, AI-powered scam detection feature, has been tested by experts and apparently, while not foolproof, found to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, actually, and it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't send information back to Google. So you don't have to worry about, while it's like protecting you from scams, that somehow Google's getting information from it. It's one of the few AIs that are not training on you that way. So anyway, yeah, it'll tell you, like, when you get those text messages, it's like, hey, you want to meet at 5? And you're like, who is this number? I don't know this person. Those are scams, but a lot of people don't know that. So this is going to tell you it's a scam and how to protect yourself. Now, of course, it's also going to catch some positives, something that indicates to them it might be spam or a scam. And so you're going to have to make sure and double check. Easiest way usually to do that, though, is just to check your messages on like a text message, because you have messages with friends and people you've talked to before, usually. So anyway, but it's pretty good. It does it in chats, and it does it in text, and it does it in phone calls. And people are
Wow.
saying it's pretty good, the people that have evaluated it. So it's like Apple, but it's not quite as good as Apple at this time.
Okay,
But
well,
I like it.
again, oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, I like the idea of it. I have an
I
Android.
love the idea of it. Given how number one, given how we have an aging population, and I know I was like keeping my dad off of from clicking the wrong links for the wrong times. We have an aging population. We have so many more scammers out there. AI is making it so much easier to compile all the pieces you need to run a fairly sophisticated long scam on the internet. You were talking earlier about a piece of software that can reconstruct the look of a website and basically recreate the look and feel of a website. I mean, if Google's going to protect its consumers from people who are able to do that at scale, I am good.
Yeah, because imagine this, like, you just have to use, you and I know a lot of people may not, though, that you just have to use a foreign character in the domain name, and it'll look like an English character. And then you use this new, I don't want to promote that tech very much, because really the only purpose for it is just scam and spam. But that new tech we talked about, where you just copy websites, and then it's very easy to phish somebody. Just send get a get an email list and send it out and go here, sign up for our new thing, and now they have your email address or whatever else they ask for. So yeah, I think this is a good, yeah. Anyway.
So, Google, having some success with AI here and there, is adding more AI overviews to
Oh,
search
so much AI this
and
week.
is testing It was adding an AI mode to search, so you can go here if you want to, but it's also testing a all AI search universe.
Yeah, that's the AI tab, the AI mode tab. The issue is that it doesn't show any, it might show a thumbnail, but that's it. It doesn't show images. There's just a link, like there's an AI overview, and then it's going to like answer questions and stuff. It's just kind of depressing.
Well, it is. And again, in some cases, AI overviews are extremely useful for quick answers. And in other cases, AI overviews are
horribly
giving
wrong
information in some case. And in some cases, how to say this? AI overviews are preventing the discovery of new information by serving up an easy, or well, it's often sometimes very complex answer, but by serving up answers, people aren't learning. They're being fed information.
Right,
and
the discovery
that's my
path.
biggest problem with them.
Yeah, the discovery path you use to find information.
It's
like
where
you know
really
when we
learn
first
stuff.
Yeah, that's where you learn stuff, because you read this and you read that, and someone made a great graph of it the other day, and I'll have to send it to you, but I mean an image, you know, but it's like this rocket ship going from you think you're learning, but it's like point A to, you know, the moon. Like you didn't learn anything along the way. So yeah, and the other thing that really bothers me about this is, you know, they trained on people's copyrighted works, and now they're just going to produce this AI tab, and you're going to be able to converse with it, and a lot of people are going to use it, and then those people are not going to get links to their websites. We already know link the clicks are down because AI overviews, and you know, it's just not. I just find it unfair to the people that they trained on. If they did it all themselves and they didn't train on all these websites, that'd be different. But they didn't. They trained on everybody's website, so now they can summarize. I call them summarization engines. Summarize what's there and then entice you never to click. Although it does also hurt their ads, so we'll see how long that lasts. But basically, it's an AI overview without images in conversational mode that you can use voice with. And personally, I don't use any of it. Sometimes every now and then when I just see a quick fact or something, then I need a screenshot. But I don't use any of it because I just don't have the time to figure out what's right and wrong in there. You know, it's like if I'm looking for something, chances are I don't know the full answer. So if it gives me something wrong, I may not know. And the other thing people really need to understand about this tech is it is a summarization engine. It is not a search engine. Summarizing a bunch of documents, it pulls back in predictive text. And that's why sometimes it's wrong, because it pulls the wrong words in the predictive text mode. So, but I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to use it. I just think it's unfortunate for all the companies that are going to lose the traffic, because one day those companies won't exist anymore. And I don't know what Google intends to do then when there aren't websites. So that's my rant for the day. What do you think?
I think Google will we've had this conversation on air a couple times. Google will contract with writers, scholars, academics, and whomever they can to create information for them. There may well be a new clerical job for academics, mostly. You're definitely going to need to be PhD'd for this one, and they ain't going to pay you too much, which will be much like being a Wikipedia editor. Just create content, not for human consumption, but for AIs to learn on. I think that's very likely going to be a job for the future. I don't think it'll be a particularly pleasant job, but, you know, because when I write something today, the meaning I get from it is knowing I'm sharing knowledge with other people, and somehow that makes me happy and makes me feel fulfilled. If I'm writing something that's only going to be used to generate answers based on innumerable queries, I don't even know where my words are going to end up, that's not quite as satisfying. Because there's no direct relationship between me and whomever's reading it. And
no,
that might be
exactly.
ego, but it's real.
No, it's true. When I used to write for one of the, like, I think Search Engine Watch or something, they took off comments. And I was so sad, because even when I got bad comments, I had somebody to interact with over what I wrote, and then their perception of what I wrote and how I wrote it. And I used a lot of that to improve on my next writing. And so, yeah, when you're just writing to air, it's not the same motivation. So you can find this new AI mode, and it will have real-time information. So it's not just like the ones that are out there that, you know, have stuff from 2 years ago, unless you give it a URL. So there's links in the AI mode. There's Search Console in AI mode. They're not going to give us any information about referrals from this tab, which is kind of like discover, we're never told, which is kind of just wrong. It goes in a big bucket of the, what is
Yeah,
it, the
that's actually,
unknown.
that's a big, I think this is a really big mistake that that Google is making.
I agree. And I know they don't want to do it because then people will see how much traffic they're losing to AI overviews, but or AI mode now.
So here's a question I've been meaning to, so I have this one recreational supplies client. Big website. It's a national e-tailer, okay? They've been improving on impressions and slowly improving on clicks, although I mean it's we're moving into spring, so their click rate is going to improve naturally. And it's not improving as quickly as it has in previous years, but it is still on an upswing. Now I got to report to the clients at the end of every quarter, so it's the end of this month, we're coming up to reporting season, and I'm a little bit nervous because I got to say, well, look, folks, like we see growth here. But we live in an AI world where a lot of your clicks are being denied to you. So not only do we see growth, what I see is major growth, relatively speaking. Can I get away with that? Or am I just talking out of my ear? So you
Well,
got to say something, right?
I'll let our audience decide. So you can limit the AI mode, but it's the same thing if you limit any other form of Google search, web search, images, discover, AI overviews, AI mode, and that is the no snippet section. But if you say no snippet, that means you can never appear in any snippet anywhere. No rich snippets, no star snippets, no product snippets, no. So you probably don't want to do that unless you just never want to see your stuff in the special snippet spaces, which does decrease your traffic.
And why would you do that?
Honestly,
this is...
There are some companies that have like maybe legal or B2B issues where they don't care or they don't want to risk, this happening. There's also, you can do a max snippet, the max number of characters allowed into the AI mode, AI overview. It also controls Discover and the others. So anyway, tech just kind of bums me out. I was already bummed out. So let's move on to something else.
Google AI Overviews was being tested with Gemini 2.0. Apparently, at least if you're in the US, it's no longer a test. You're now powered by Gemini 2.0. So you have better, apparently better AI overviews.
Choo! Yay! Okay.
This one's kind of cool, and this one's really important, actually.
It is.
10% of younger Google searchers, young people using Google, 10% of their searches start with a circle, that circle to search. They see something, they see an image, they put a circle of it, they let Google Images figure out what that was, and they get their search results back because they were interested in that thing they saw.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool feature when it came out, but I always forget that it exists. So,
well, that 10% of younger Google searchers are doing this. That's how they start their searches.
Yeah.
That's a really significant thing for e-tailers.
Although this was in India, Google India and Google India conference, so I don't know that if it applies to U.S.
Oh, well, it will. If the
it will,
if the
if
Indian
it
kids
yeah.
are doing it, guarantee you the American kids will be doing it because that's what kids are doing.
And it's a nice,
Kids is
it's an
kids is
easy
kids.
feature. Yeah, of course, it's an easy feature. Instead of typing it out, you just circle it. I just wish I'd ever remember it was there. I just
so
don't.
If well again, if you're an e-tailer, you really, really, really want to be putting not just attention into the immediate product images, but making sure that your products are in images that have a number of other things in them. Because kids are looking at like their friends and they're seeing something on the shelf and they're circling it.
That's true. Yeah. You do want your white background images for your actual shopping site, but you may want to produce other images that Google crawls that
There
don't
you
have
go.
white backgrounds. Yeah.
You know, and this may well be something you're sending out to other websites. I think it's anyway, I just think this is really interesting. It's one of the evolutions of how people use the environment.
It is. And like I said, I always thought it was cool when it came out. A lot I don't think is cool these days with Google, but I think that's cool. I just wish I remember it was there. I just don't. We do an article, like read an article, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I could do that.
I mean, this is one of those things that I think we have to put in the back of our memories, and it becomes incumbent on us to remind our clients that this feature exists. So you're doing this with images, really cool. You know what else you should be doing? That sort of stuff, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's a good point you said to have photos that have more in the background when it's not your product photo and shopping.
Well, because what are they circling? If they're looking at your product page, they're not circling your image because they're already on your product page.
Exactly. Exactly. But if you put out like guides or you put out, how to's and things like that, then you want to put things that they can purchase in the background. Because a lot of big companies do their own photo shoots, right? So they could easily do that.
Okay, so this is astounding. I don't even know what this number means. Honest to goodness, I mean, I know what it means. I can see the number in my head, but honestly, it's so big. 5 trillion searches per year. Google answers over 5 trillion searches per year. I haven't reverse math that to come up with like 10,000 searches per second, but I bet you it's close to that, and I might be underestimating.
Yeah, there's actually a site where you can go see how many searches have been done per second. I put it in my talks often. It's astronomically crazy. So
Well,
it
and
said, go ahead.
the growth is astronomical because in 2016, the last time they looked at this data, there was about 2 trillion searches per year. There's 1.2 trillion in 2012. So in 9 years, 3 million more. The search, the Google search, has grown 2.5 times bigger than itself.
And this is after losing 5% share. Last 2 quarters.
That's just again, 5 trillion searches per year is such an extraordinary number. It's an amazing milestone, by the way. I remember when Google was starting out and they had like, maybe like, several million searches per year, and they were really pleased about that. And they've actually probably like several hundred million searches per year in their first years. But this, wow.
This is some of my talks. The first Google could fit on a USB of 256 KB. Very first Google.
Well, honest to God, who needs anything bigger than that? I mean, it's probably just a fad anyway.
Exactly. So they said on search, rich and multimodal, I can't speak today, experiences like AI overviews, circle to search, and lens give people new ways to express exactly what they want more naturally than ever before. We already see more than 5 trillion searches on Google annually. And with AI, we're continuing to expand the types of questions that people can ask. This is more opportunities for you to connect with your consumers through entirely new questions. For example, with the launch of AI Overviews, the volume of commercial searches queries has increased, and yet we know it's taken clicks from actual websites. But they didn't put that part in, I did.
For example, with the launch of AI Overviews, the volume of commercial queries has increased to 17.7 trillion.
Yes.
Just because it was said that way.
Exactly.
Okay, this is kind of cool. I love QR codes. I used to, okay, I no, I used to be like, a Gen X boomer guy who hated QR codes, and then I started using them a lot.
As
And
long as it's
they're
not
just
my
they
menu,
make the world move faster.
as long as it's not my menu at the restaurant. Except the one weird thing to me about this is it's a QR code on a computer or your phone. So how do you take a picture of it? Maybe on your desktop you can take a picture of it. Can't take No one's developed the tech yet to do a picture of the QR code from your phone while you have your phone
No,
looking
you're
at the
well. You're.
QR code.
I do actually have a something that can read QR codes off of a website that's on my screen. But I can also have my partner Shauna put her phone over top of my phone to
Yeah.
capture that
Us
QR
single
code.
people don't have that option. They are going, this is to help you get
It really
reviews.
annoys me when I'm like, "Hey, honey, come over here every 5 seconds."
So you can create QR codes for reviews directly within your Google Business profile. And this is just to make it easier for you to do that, which is great. Most programs have it now. I love on LinkedIn, there's a special little thing on your phone in the upper right corner of the search where you click on it and it gives a QR code for anyone to get your information and connect with you. So it's a good idea. I just think it's funny that, it's like, hey, here's a QR code. It's on my phone. I can't take a picture. So we didn't
Google is
apply.
using AI to let you try out new looks and try on new clothing. And if I ever see myself in a tutu out there, I will be remarkably pissed at one of you.
Ooh, I have ideas now.
I'll be remarkably pissed at you first, Christine.
So they had this in the SGE days. That was when we had the first beta for all the AI stuff. But they didn't call it Vision Match. Now it's Vision Match. You can also create and shop. So if you can't find it, create it is the prompt. And from there, they'll suggest some ideas to get you started. And you can further refine your vision, except it has to be something available for purchase. So I don't know how creative you can get, but anyway, yeah, it's a virtual try-on. I wanted to do this back in the early days of like 2001, but it's nice to see AI can do it so easily. So, and it is good to see what the clothes look like on you. Although a lot of it's just picking a body type is kind of how they do it. Select a model, which has been done before, but it looks like with AI vision, it's just more smooth. We did forget one important thing. Google is serving ads in triplicate.
Is that still going on? They haven't fixed
Well,
that
that's
yet?
not a it's not a bug.
Oh, they're doing this
Yeah.
on purpose.
Yeah. So they did doubles last year, and then you could serve the same ad across ad locations, and your ads can show more than once. It's in the help documents. So add at the top, add in the local path. Pack and add at the bottom. You can have three ads per page. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know how you control it. It doesn't say here, but it may just be Google just decides to show you three times, which is what it looks like.
Yeah, honestly, I'd have to see this replicate over and over and over again. To think this is something Google's doing on purpose, unless it's the way they can make the very most money out of like some craptastic ad inventory.
Yeah, no, it's on purpose. They have an action documentation on it.
Okay.
So yeah, it is on purpose.
Okay, we're rounding out the clock. We got a few fast, actually, fewer than normal, but a few fast stories. What do we got here?
Well, first for Google's search is testing more favicon designs. So basically the favicon appears to the left of your name and URL in a round circle. It's just a new visual. I don't think we need to really add much to that. In the search result, it's just much bigger because now it's two lines instead of one.
Hey, favicons are good. They attract the eye. Get
Yeah.
them in, your search results, and you're looking good.
Exactly. We got Bing is now, Bing ads are auto expanding site links. Don't like things that auto expand, but I'd have to experience it to know. So basically, you don't need to click or do anything. The ad will dynamically expand to show more site links underneath the search ad unit. So it's just like, site links you get with the organic result. It's the same thing. It's just going to add more of them to the underneath.
So does that give the advertiser control of a greater number of landing pages? Potential landing pages?
I'm not sure, but this is just you roll over the URL to like, go to the site, and then all of a sudden below it, things just start changing,
No,
which I don't think is a good idea, but we'll see how
maybe
it
it may,
goes.
again, if it gives the advertiser a chance to send some users to a different landing page if they want to go there, that might be useful. It depends how it gets used, right?
Yeah, but just if
Or
you
if it
roll
can be.
over it, it just auto does it. I mean, it doesn't
Yeah,
even click
yeah.
on it, but it just auto does it. Then there's Google products top insights using generative AI. You know how you go to Amazon now and they write a little thing about whether people liked or didn't like something in
I
their
don't
reviews?
know. Since I started selling the 51st state shirts, I haven't gone to Amazon. I wouldn't know.
So Google's now using generative AI and labeling on Google Search product detail overlays. So when you click on a product listing in Google Search, the overlay window comes out and it just gives you insights. So it's like, Android, and it just gives you like what it runs on and the basics about it. So it could be helpful. In Amazon, it is helpful, but generally speaking, the text is boring. And, it's like we saw before with Nike, like they're giving brand information. So yeah, some people might find it useful. There's so much clutter though in the results now. Google Copilot answers with map and local results with ads. I do not understand the purpose of this since they already have a map, right? So Microsoft Bing searches Copilot answers, that's a mouthful, can now show maps and local results, including local ads. The AI answer has a map on the left side, and then the right side is local organic and paid listings with the company name, address, phone, blah, 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 blah. It's just a map pack. It's just done with AI instead of just doing it like it's always done it.
Just another way to move people around, seems to me.
Google, though, maps and stuff are getting so impossible to use. Like, I try not to use them at all anymore. They used to be really good. Google Search AI overviews for movie reviews. I think this is actually a positive.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler
Yeah,
alerts.
true. Very true. But it does give review summaries in Google Search. It just says whether people liked it or didn't, or if people thought this performance was amazing, audiences
I
found the
really
rest
hated it when
terrible.
Jack died at the end.
Yeah. Hopefully it does not do that. Because that would be really bad. But yeah, I mean it's fine. I think it's good that it tells it. I don't know if it's helpful or not till we know if it's accurate, which mostly it's not. But it could be accurate and then good stuff about the movie. So it depends on those things, I think. Anything else you want to say?
There was enough room on that thing for him and her. They easily could have floated away. And you
Right?
know what? I think
That
Google would have happily told us that had we
was
read
my
the AI overview review.
one big contention with that movie. And
Yeah.
then it was too young, that was Titanic. Google Business Reviews, we can just end on this one. Gain expressive reactions. You know how you're on Facebook and you can make a smiley or huggy or angry or whatever. So now on business profiles, you're gonna be able to leave a review with a emoji. So
What
it's gonna
about
have
the
like
angry old guy emoji? They got an angry old guy emoji?
I don't know because it doesn't show all the emojis, but it does have like a heart and prayer hands and fire and a tongue sticking out and then just like a meh. So it's kind of an odd combination. So I have to think they have more than just those. But
Google,
anyway, you can now put
we
those on your
need an
reviews.
angry old guy emoji. I need an angry
Exactly.
old guy emoji because that would
Exactly.
be fun.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's fine. Yeah, I just if they have negatives in there, I hope that they control that so that people don't get negative emojis. When
Like
they
an
don't
angry
deserve
old
them.
guy emoji, which might
Yeah.
actually, given the way old guys are, might be friendly because it's just, this is how we are. So screw you,
Angry old guy yells at clouds. So anyway, yeah, that's it. We've gotten through the grid and
And we gone full circle.
we've
Okay.
gone full
So
circle.
on, I guess on behalf of Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Want to thank Alessio Cordova for coming on talking about SEO charity and remind people like check out the mini show, the mini conference. It's some incredible speakers,
Including me.
and including Christine, and you get some incredible access to these people. So check out the conference, March 27th. I want to thank AudienceKey and Wix Studio, our sponsors. And I want to thank, Ricky and George in the studio, and Darren and Brandy in the office there. And thanks to everyone who keeps Webcology going. Thanks to all the people who listen. Please like and love these shows as you know best. Ring your subscription bell if there's a subscription bell to ring, or subscribe in any way you possibly can. Pass the show around as people will. And well, rank well. Be really, really kind to each other, and we hope to talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign. It's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.